interrupting the current neo-Euclidean climate challenge, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting Episode BTWRLM 618. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind the woodshed with that dose of reality, because you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. One dose of reality is donation month. Yes, it is. Donation month for RLM, reallibertymedia.com. Trying to get the donations up all this month, and then we don't have to really ask too much anymore. Although that's adjusted a little bit, but yeah, let's do the push for February here. I'll probably do one more into March because I missed the first week. Just to remind us, yeah, we want to get as much as we can in right now so we don't have to return to it and all the bills seem to be paid, other than the things that we've now focused on getting and adding to the RLM as a feature, an advantage for those of us that can provide information and or those of you that can receive it and interact and move out and move along how you will. So find the donation buttons, reallibertymedia.com or Real Liberty Media, RLM Radio, excuse me, rlmradio.xyz. Go to the bottom at least to see the icons for the donation. Give the crew a coffee or two, and or a greater donation. And we're going to pay for all the services behind the scenes and some hardware and keep moving, amplify what's going on. And we're trying to bring more features like periodically explain and discuss. It's been a little bit of a time to get the job done and figuring out exactly what happens and understanding the systems behind the scenes. That's not really a lot of money, more than people spending their time to understand that. And that's really where the real value starts to come in that really doesn't get compensated too well generally everywhere. So if you can, if you will, please find the donations for whatever you can do, even if it's not even money. It can be just maybe even ideas that work, maybe even some talent that works, maybe even content, which is what I'm kind of focused on. I'd like to really fill the schedule up with people who are moving new concepts, new content through every week, hopefully. Just like a regular network, like a live show, you will. Or a live show. That's still there, too. We don't have too many of that going on, so it's going to be on. It's not like what I used to do on other networks, and that's what I'd like to see come back. There's a something about a network that really works. There's lots of people with lots of ideas. As I said, my intrigue was to be able to listen to other hosts and then work with the information they provided, especially someone like the late William Roberts. He'd bring you the encyclopedic knowledge, and I'd say, yeah, here, now, what he told you over here, this is how you apply that. This is where it's working against you. This is how you counter that. And so we worked really well together, I think, that way. I think we both, when we talked with each other, we appreciated that ability. So if you can, please donate what you can. I mean, whatever. It's really kind of interesting. This thing is really what we want it to be. And I've been keep asking if we would just step up and decide what that is and move it forward and start being persistent on what we do. There's a mindset right now that seems to believe that all this is working out, these government things are working out. And I'm suggesting to you that they're working out, but not necessarily the way it looks. But it is a momentum that we can run on, and we can dovetail right into and move it along into the right, better directions than the future that they want. As I keep pointing out, how it looks like everything's going really smooth in some regard, how it looks like America is coming back. But in fact, it's being driven into the future that's been already written down and planned. And it's not something really, when you look, anybody that I know looks at this, really starts coming away shaking their head. How did we get here? How are we going to avoid it? It's really kind of a, if you will, a scary thing. And as I was in the same mindset, I ran across those Protocols of Elders of Zion, and I didn't read them as a political ploy. I read them as a manual of the frailties of mankind and how people exploit that. And when I finally got done with that whole situation, understanding it, what it brought onto me to understand and think, all of a sudden there was an answer inside there. It's a pretty dire document, actually. And yet there's answers. And I'm going to touch on a couple of them today. It's in there for us to see and to do. So it's up to us, and that's really the resistance, if you will. The actual good resistance is what it takes. And it's not just thinking that we know that we're doing something or we know it's not right or not to do it. It's that we're actually doing something to foster the future that we want, and more likely against the one that's being planned for us. So, again, donation month for February. If you would, please step up as you can and as you will. But those of you that don't know how to do the content, like a broadcast, contact SoundMedics. Anymore, it's not that hard easy either, and a lot of it's pretty straightforward. A lot of it's software anymore, and as far as quality of equipment, I've been told I had to have a big old microphone and all, and I guess it would have been nice, but I've never been in a place to be able to do it. Never had a system that would actually work with it all, and I've been doing it on a cheap headset for whatever you hear here. And so this is what you can get by with and what you can do. There's lots of software to cover up problems. And then it's just the bottom line is your content, even if it's not so, you don't think it's so professional. It doesn't have to be. It's got to be just quality content. And I'm looking forward to for more people to do that. A lot of times we just sit down and become the keyboard warriors, and we're not providing all the study we may have been doing. We're not allowing that to other people. And from my standpoint, whatever anybody thinks I know, all that I would know that I can apply for myself, it doesn't really go very far. It only goes for the things that I run across. And yet, we have more complex problems coming upon us that are more deleterious to all of us, whether anybody sees them or not. And I try not to be too sensational about it. I try to really be low-key about this. But it is serious. It's moving right along. And it's amazing to watch. And there's some people that aren't going to, you know, we'll be out of here soon enough. But the future coming is going to be under it and much more hard to resist. So people that understand about it, not just talk about the woe of it, but can understand how to articulate what to perceive in it and how to counter it, I think are really going to be the better people with better content. But any content to bring forward, bring people aware. It's amazing what people are not aware of. It. Anyway, donation month, what you can. Thank you very much. I know the crew will appreciate everything you can do to bring what they would like to do. They've been chomping at the bit to keep working through and get stuff forward. So, It'll be a help generally. But so it's what you can do to support and what those guys and I and anybody other content provider can bring. And we just continue to work together, notwithstanding what the news is out there, what we might think about it, and whether or not our hopium is great or not. It's great to hope, but there's a reality. And a dose of reality is what we hope to bring behind Woodshed. But then being free of fraudsters and globalists and deep state bureaucrats would be a big help, but not as Trump is suggesting, and this guy Trump, just so much Trump. He's just kind of taken over the news cycle, and I'm not so sure it's such a good thing when there's all these other things going on too. But we can't help; he's the biggest motive force going on right now, and what he can expose to us is what I try to bring. The fraudsters, globalists, and deep state bureaucrats are out. Illegal alien criminals are being sent packing, says Donald Trump. Quote. We're draining the swamp and restoring government by the people. And I would just wish he would just keep going for the people, of the people, all that. But it's not. It's just by the people. What people? But here we are, draining that swamp. The illegal alien criminals aside, remember, you always throw that in the one Yahweh. No one can deny it needs to be gone. And then he attaches this caboose that just doesn't really go with it. But illegal alien criminals aside, I would have to say, no, you're not draining the swamp, President Trump, for one of many relative to the U.S. government. Promoting Stargate is not causing fraudsters, globalists, and deep state bureaucrats to be sent packing. It's changing the swamp creatures out for evolving fraudsters, globalists, and deep state bureaucrats. So I'd have to ask you, President Trump, to stop lying to the people. Now, he either knows that this is all a lie, or he's too stupid to know that. That's STOOPID for the hearing sensitive. Changing the sheets does not put the brothel out of business. And speaking of systemic fraudsters, as I mentioned this matter here last episode, Brazilian Justice Alexander de Moraes escalates the pressure on Rumble after lawsuits over secret censorship orders. Pavlovsky posts on X on Thursday, and a day after the lawsuit against Moraes was filed, quote, make Brazil free again, close quote, and addressing all Brazilians and stating that while he may not be one, quote, no one will fight harder for your freedom of expression than me. I will fight to the very end, relentlessly, without folding, Pavlovsky said. Pavlovsky, is a drooling liar. Rumble has taken down 80 accounts so far, at least. I haven't heard the new count yet. The syndicating accounts that spread this truthful content on reallibertymedia.com. In particular, this impeccable doses of reality provided by Hanuchin. He's certainly not a man of his word at all. And he has no chance by that to make Brazil or any place free again. Unless it's only to make Wall Street free and great to plunder you. So this is interesting to me, the fraudsters that are there, we put a lot of faith in just their words. Always seem to be there and seem to be saying exactly opposite of what they're doing. So won't harp on that too much. Just understand what reallibertymedia.com, what we're trying to do. Why? Why would Rumble take our syndication accounts down? What have you heard on Real Liberty Media that was so bad and so offensive that you should hear us being taken down? Is the problem of Rumble and why we have that donation month every February, and now maybe through more. We don't have Wall Street. We rely on Main Street everywhere. Anyway, so find those donation buttons. This is starting to irritate me pretty bad to see this guy lie so badly. Again, Pavlov's dogs. He says it. Everyone believes it. It's not true. Absolutely cannot be true. And I want to remind you that those accounts that are destroyed are not done with any warning. They're not done with any type of explanation. It's certainly not an appeal. If he's supposed to make Brazil free again. No, it's not going to happen. As long as what the Wall Street essentially wants, what his minders want, what pays his bills. He's apparently getting a paycheck out of it all. You don't get that behind a woodshed. The guys in the crew don't get it, but we still take those funds and put them into hardware and hard work. So, and probably the largest frauds of our time, the lingering stench with us today, in particular with all the song and dance regarding the release of the JFK files, yet still to happen, the Epstein did not kill himself files, at least only phase one, just dropping a couple of days ago to a select few in the morning, with much fanfare, so-called conservatives, hint, hint, revealing nothing new. Actually, and I'll, at the end of the broadcast, or the broadcast, maybe I'll throw in the recently allowed FBI vault for the Epstein files as well, as I think about it, I just got it myself. But Gary L. sent this link that I'll read a letter, and I'd like to read that as we consider why the secrecy and delay, this Phase X kibitz or the kibbutz kabuki theater that we're watching relative to this Epstein files, and being so haphazardly sent out as well, really to make it hard to understand who's he working for. And that's really what this is all about, essentially, from what I can tell. Otherwise, just like the JFK files, who else exists today that would be a cause for the harm? It can't much be too many of even the witnesses, and it can't be, certainly, but it can't be really many men or women acting at that time. It would have to be an organization. It's been pretty clear from the time, for a time. And as Gary L. sent the link, and I replied to him on X Twitter, responding to a hand-wringing kabuki performer, Representative Anna Pauline Luna, Helena Luna, I guess her name is, worrying about the risk taken by Attorney General Pam Bondi, Gary telling her where to put her danger stick. My response to Gary was, why is she more at risk, why is Pam Bondi more at risk than the nation she places in peril through her obstructions, not limited to redactions and secret withholding and or these delayed holdings at all? And there's a new story coming around, even that oddball dropping that said doing the whole files. Now they're maybe doing the cat box cover up a little bit. Someone found out, someone came forward to say there was more documents that were never brought forward, held by the Southern District in New York of the FBI. And so someone got wind, and now they got to divulge some of this stuff. Now, I'm sure the black highlighter's coming out quick, but again, this is such a game. They should have just found out where all those files were and dropped it in. But in my response here, I said, Why is she more at risk than the nation she places at peril through her obstructions, not limited to redactions and secret holdings? But what am I saying, when not much, if anything, will be disclosed anyway, and this is all phase X kibitz or kibbutz kabuki, and that may be the risk Representative Luna knows, but is not disclosing, and who may be behind that risk? Well, from the CIA reading room, the document dated 15 October 1952, a letter from an assistant director that says, General Smith has asked me to acknowledge your kind message of 1 October 1952. He has taken note of the enclosure, and the enclosure being the speech of Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich. It reads, as I can read it through here, it's just a black and white picture here, approved for release 2003-328 was when this happened, the speech of Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich. The following is a speech of Rabbi Emanuel Rabinovich before a special meeting of the Emergency Council of European Rabbis in Budapest, Hungary, January 12, 1952, and for a little bit of context, is just after Israel is created. And so this is all partly in that context, too. A lot, in a way, a lot going on. For those of us that didn't live during the time to understand it, not knowing some of the context is very important to understand. So I throw that out there just for us, anybody who's interested, to go back and perfect the knowledge about this, of what was going on and who was doing it, and the continuum that's gone on. And remember, this 50 and 52, this is when the Mossad gets integrated through an agent in the CIA, right in the early 50s. So understand all of this context as I read what the speech was. Greetings, my children, Rabbi Rabinovich said. You have been called here to recapitulate the principal steps of our new program. As you know, we had hoped to have 20 years between wars to consolidate the great gains which we made from World War II, but our increasing numbers in certain vital areas is arousing opposition to us, and we must now work with every means at our disposal to precipitate World War III within 5 years, the goal for which we have striven so concertedly for 3,000 years is at least within our reach, and because its fulfillment is so apparent, it behooves us to increase our efforts and our caution tenfold. I can safely promise you that before 10 years has passed, our race will take its rightful place in the world, with every Jew a king and every Gentile a slave. Parenthetically, applause from the gathering. You remember the success of our propaganda campaign during the 1930s, which aroused anti-American passions in Germany. At the same time, we were arousing anti-German passion in America, a campaign which culminated in the Second World War. A similar propaganda campaign is now being waged intensively throughout the world. A war fever is being worked up in Russia by an incessant anti-American barrage, while a nationwide anti-communist scare is sweeping America. This campaign is forcing all of the smaller nations to choose between partnership of Russia or an alliance with the United States. I'm pausing here. Are you keeping up with exactly what we're looking at today, even though it's past 5 years? They failed there. And understand where you hear the failures. I'm going to talk to you about that when I'm done reading. Our most pressing problem at the moment is to inflame the lagging militaristic spirit of the Americans. The failure of the Universal Military Training Act was a great setback to our plans, but we are assured that a suitable measure will be rushed through Congress immediately after the 1952 elections. The Russian, as well as the Asiatic peoples, are well under control and offer no objections to war, but we must wait to secure the Americans. This we hope to do with the issue of anti-Semitism, which worked so well in uniting the Americans against Germany. We are counting heavily on reports of anti-Semitic outrages in Russia to whip up the indignation of the United States and produce a front of solidarity against the Soviet power. Simultaneously, to demonstrate to Americans the reality of anti-Semitism, we will advance through news sources large sums of money to outspokenly anti-Semitic elements in America to increase their effectiveness, and we shall stage anti-Semitic outbreaks in several of their largest cities. This will serve to the double purpose of exposing reactionary sectors in America, which then can be silenced, and of the welded the United States into a devoted anti-Russian unit. Within 5 years, this program will achieve its objectivity, the Third World War, which will surpass in destruction all previous contests. Israel, of course, will remain neutral. And when both sides are devastated and exhausted, we will arbitrate sending our control commission into all wrecked countries. This war will end for all time our struggle against the Gentiles. We will openly reveal our identity with the races of Asia and Africa. I can state with assurance that the last generation of white children is now being born. Our control commissions will be in the interest of peace and wiping out interracial tensions, forbid the whites to mate with whites. The white women must cohabit with members of the dark races, the white men with dark women. Thus the white race will disappear, for mixing the dark with the white means the end of the white man, and our most dangerous enemy will become only a memory. We shall embark upon our era of 10,000 years of peace and plenty of Pax Judaica, and our race will rule undisputed over the world. A superior intelligence will easily enable us to retain mastery over a world of dark peoples. Question from Gathery. Rabbi Rabinovich, what about the various religions after the Third World War? Rabinovich responds, there will be no religions. Not only would the existence of a priest class remain a constant danger to our rule, but belief in an afterlife would give spiritual strength to irreconcilable elements in many countries and enable them to resist us. We will, however, retain the rituals and customs of Judaism as the mark of our heredity ruling caste, strengthening our racial laws so that no Jew will be allowed to marry outside our race, nor will any stranger be accepted by us. We may have to repeat the grim days of World War II when we were forced to let the Hitlerite bandits sacrifice some of our people in order that we may be adequate documentation and witnesses to legally justify our trial and execution of the leaders of America and Russia as war criminals after we have dictated the peace. I am sure you will need little preparation for such a duty, for sacrifice has always been the watchword of our people, and the death of 1,000 Jews in exchange for the world leadership is indeed a small price to pay. I need to interject. I wasn't going to interject, but I had to say, can you hear Cannibal Directive right in there, too? Can you hear lots of what's going on today in the guise of other things? But back to the letter. We're almost done. To convince you of the certainty that leadership, let me point out to you how we have turned all the inventions of the white man into weapons against him. His printing presses and the radios are the mouthpieces of our desires, and his heavy industry manufactures the instruments which we send out as arm Asia and Africa against him. Our interests in Washington are greatly extending the .4 program for developing industry in backward areas of the world so that after the industrial plants of the cities of Europe and America are destroyed by atomic warfare, the whites can offer no resistance against large masses of the dark races who will maintain all unchallenged technologically superiority. And so, with this vision of the world victory before you, go back to your countries and intensify your good work until that approaching day when Israel will reveal herself in all her glorious destiny as the light of the world. So you'll notice the errors. If you listen to that, go back and read it. Get the link and read it. And if you get a wisp of a failure in anything, that didn't be, that's not the way to, what I want you to start paying attention to. Those that are the students of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, read the writers of manual of the frailties of mankind. not like what we're told to read it as. Read it as the frailties of mankind exploited, right? Notice the hubris, which also guides us to a number of other weaknesses and similarly admitted in the protocols that are in this document. So they've been pining for World War III, apparently, for all this time. And it's, you know, we can talk about all kinds of things, but here's a speech. Listen to how close the tenor of the letter is to those protocols. You make up your own decision. I'm asking us to look at these as manuals of instruction to the people that believe they know us better than ourselves. And they're moving their agenda along. And this is not just one, it's not the only one. This is the other problem about all this. You kind of get focused on this, but if there's a lot, just look at who and the things that they're planning to do, put them in slightly different names today, and you'll see exactly what's going on. I don't care if it's these folks or not. It's still going on. You know, they've been pining for that World War III that we may have just averted, well, for now, maybe. As we listen on, it's lingering, this whole point. And I think 1952 is long enough to wait for the good general to act and to work to bring greater control over those who would desire the demise of our nation from within. And I'm hoping people start to pick up on this. That's why I've never really pointed on, until, let's say, Israel started doing their genocide, I didn't have any purpose to focus on, let's say, the Jew. Because there's all kinds of different people that figured out there's an intelligence, an evil intelligence in the world that can be used. And yes, we can go right back to these people right here. But there's also the outliers that still are working those too. And we don't know of some. We don't probably will never hear from about them. They may not even, if I can get a little esoteric, they may not be as we might consider what they call human at all. But we start seeing what they're doing with mRNAs, and we start to understand that was enough to be a bioweapon and not really to do an agenda. And where might that all go? And then you listen to Elon Musk and his so-called humanitarian melding of machines with man. There could be a whole other thing going on as well that we were just not told about. And so, this is a very interesting letter. I thank you, Gary, for bringing it to me. I don't know all these documents are out there. And I don't really focus on any one so-called race of people. Anybody that gets a group together is a race. If identifiable from anybody else, that's a race. I don't care what their color is. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say. If they all come together, you can use the word race to describe them, even though it's not what the legal definition of that is for the purposes of United States law, for sure. But anyway, so they have their race, these people. I would consider this to be more Zionist than Jew. Remember, we get to the Bible, which they don't agree with. They don't agree with that it's going to exist. Your religion, so-called, will be what's in you. They're going to want to take that out of you. And that's where our temple is. And we look at that, and we start seeing that from the good book that we would use, that serves a basis for those principles, that none of us are worthy of determining a Jew. That's left for God. So anybody that calls themselves a Jew either isn't Christian or isn't understanding that they don't have that power. And they're taking the mantle of something that they have not earned and cannot know that they have earned until that time. And the best that we can do is to make sure that temple is us and that we work from there by the word of the Holy Ghost, let's say, the guidance of that, and the precepts that are given, the commandments that are given down as a guidance, because apparently we're that fallen. And I've seen it, so it's not even a question for me. But watching this letter, the shortness of this letter even, just two pages, and seeing where we are today, and they missed all their timing, which means that they're not that enlightened. They're not that chosen. And again, the protocols will tell you all about all this. As much as despair as I felt after reading that document for 2 days after, it was like when it finally clicked what I had just read, and that there was exceptions to this all, this seemingly omniscient power to understand me better than me and cause me to do things before I even knew them. There was such an influx of energy when I realized they have failures and they're counting on me to indulge my failures and not to be aware and not to come out and start looking at theirs and believe them. And that the power was in us to do what? To highlight these irreconcilable elements between what they're claiming they want to see and what our reality is. And so I'll provide a link to my ex-Twitter response to Gary from the thread, which I say, why is she more at risk? And then I'll also put in a link to my response to Gary L. about the letter itself. In just the first, it was just the first thing that came to my mind in 280 characters on ex-Twitter. So what came to mind in the first paragraph from World War II, when you read, you'll see World War II mentioned right in the first paragraph, is just the thought came over me. The government dereliction and deceit and treachery is endless, isn't it? The compromised Congress anti-Semitic canard abridged too far when attacking Semitic Palestinians. I can only pray the world wakes up soon enough. Irreconcilable elements for the win, FTW. And irreconcilable elements is one of their Achilles heels. One, you'll find quite a number when you read through the Protocols of Elders of Zion. And again, read it as an instruction manual of your frailties, their exploitation, and also where they fall short is your power. Now, you mentioned this periodically. This is such an interesting study. You know, interesting way to look at, well, for myself, I should say. It was an interesting way to look at myself. We think we know so much, and yet we also know, we look around and see how sharp some people are, you know, how adept they are at getting around through the world. Well, that's a little hint. But as I watch through societies doing things now, after seeing this, watching how societies get manipulated, after studying in my younger years the issues of advertising, the issues of subliminal suggestion, the theory of neuro-linguistic programming, and I say that as a theory because once you see it, it's not a theory no more, and it's also addressable. And it's all addressed. It's interesting how they've all got the same route of addressment. You just have to be aware. Not what you think you know, and certainly then find out ain't so. It's what you know. And it's kind of one of those things you see, the little meme, I guess it is. You know when you know. I mean, it's just not, if you know, you know. And some of those are kind of frustrating for me to see on the internet, because I don't know. And so I guess I don't know. So I miss the trick. I miss the joke. Or not. And that's the other thing. Are they making that up? And so, this is a whole dialogue within ourselves. And that letter speaks in the same tone as those protocols. And so that caused me, and why it became important, maybe just to me, it reminded me of what I tell you all the time, that there are those that know us better than ourselves, and we have a power to counter it. But it doesn't mean, it means that we can't sit still, we can't just sit around. That's why you get me talking about, let's do, figure something that you can do. Don't just sit around. Exercise those muscles of doing. Even as something, if you will, as innocuous as the great Comey swindle, go look at the law real quick, go find out where what it's all about, make a list of the priorities, the duties and obligations, set that in a letter, send that off, get exercise to do that. Like I said, most of you found, everybody that did sent that letter found they don't have an answer. There you are. There's that thing. There's nothing they can know about you now other than you know. And they're not going to persuade you. And then it gets more. You get to take action beyond that if there are so many more people to do, why it's going to take more of us. So, anyway, thank you again. I just was kind of interested. The tone just started to strike at me and how ingrained in the system it is and how people dismiss that. And then they'll shrug their shoulders and turn away, let it happen. And I can only say the epitome of that is what we see, just genocide, just open genocide happening in the world. And apparently no one knows what to do to stop it. We see it also allowing genocide for profit as we're watching these new things coming through with Ukraine. And I'll get to those in a moment. For now, we'll also show, moving on into this issue, these folks that have got us in every sector. In fact, reading that also, I kept being reminded when I was reading that letter from the rabbi, I guess so called. I guess he could take the title, but at any rate. So the oath of the Jesuit, which kind of keep coming back in my mind. These people have no limit to the how deceitful they will be to accomplish the end. They'll kill themselves in order to accomplish what? to be world leader. Well, who's going to be? What we're told as a Christian, who's you're told going to be the who is the dominion of the world at this point for a short time? It's those people, they think, is that spirit. And so there's a lot in that little letter, kind of neat to see. I don't believe them, but I believe them, if you understand what I'm saying. They believe it, but they don't have they're not that chosen. And they don't know, they've forgotten what they're chosen to do, and it's not a good thing. If you go read closely, no, they're the chosen, all right. But that's because they've not made the right choices themselves. Now, talking about their demise, maybe I, as I've been just reporting last episode on the banker making bank on the Harma, the misery and death investments of the last episode by none other than these so-called chosen that have set themselves out in order to destroy the United States and all other nations as well. Those of you now in the UK, 82 UK residents died after using drugs used to treat diabetes. The weight loss, including Ozempic, the active ingredient of which is semaglutide, and Mounjaro, the active ingredient is tirzepatide. According to the Agency for Regulation of Medicines and Medical Devices, the MHRA, by the end of January, at least 22 deaths related to taking these drugs for weight loss have been recorded. My goodness, that's a pandemic, folks, isn't it? But for this story, I don't want to make light of this because this is a bigger issue. 22 is just the start and the tip. Because of what you watch the promotion, you'll understand again what's going on. And you'll see who runs these companies, the Harma companies. And it's the same people. In this case, it's the same people that we're talking about want to start World War III or take out populations. Whatever. They don't care. Another 60 deaths. Well, that escalated quickly. Were reported among patients taking medications to treat type 2 diabetes. The publication notes that since the introduction of these drugs, almost 400 have been hospitalized. These numbers just seemingly exponentially increase, don't they, as you keep talking about the story. And this is the problem, insidious as this is. In addition, 35 deaths have been reported about taking Saxenda, I guess it is, and Victoza, the active ingredient is liraglutide. Now, you are certainly not a spectator in the Harma death cult sport, right? Ozempic Santa Musk. And there it is, the other promotion, right? He's all over the news. Oh, this is it. I'm Ozempic Santa. Now, what? Well, when you find out he was also the one that took the jab, but he's still doing pretty good, isn't it? Well, maybe he didn't get what everyone else got. Who knows? Anyway, he was promoting the jab, wasn't he? And all he had to do was get behind any complaint. All he had to do was get behind a woodshed. No, he won't pass my stuff around. No, his website will knock me down too. Can't get out for nothing on this town square, at any rate. No, you see, he's in on the whole point. He's with the techno swamp. They're in a promotion. It's killing people. No one really looks at it. We get the news, but that news is there to let us know. And that kind of seems to wipe that slate clean on the other side. In other words, people can choose not to, but they know, these folks know you better yourselves. And when you get yourself into a medical problem, you don't have the wherewithal to pull together what you need to do it on your own. And they are there to help you and ease your pain. And that's what it starts. And I'm not saying it's easy. What I'm saying is they make it simple. More simple. And continuing the saga of DeepSeek, DeepSeek found to be sharing user data with TikTok parent company ByteDance. The company of weeks ago, we reported on the concerns surrounding data collection and security at DeepSeek, the Chinese AI company, which recently made headlines for shaking up the industry after seemingly appearing from nowhere to become atop of the app download charts. See, we are health security here, folks, with all this AI coming in. I keep track of all this. Now, South Korea's Personal Information Protection Commission, the PIPC, says it has uncovered evidence that DeepSeek has secretly been sharing data with ByteDance, the parent company of the popular social media app TikTok. PIPC says that DeepSeek, an app with over 1 million downloads at the time of writing, automatically transmitted information to ByteDance servers every time users accessed the app, doing so without disclosure or explicit consent, PIPC told South Korea's Yonhap news agency that it was, quote, yet to confirm the data was transferred and to what extent. In response to the investigation, South Korea has removed the DeepSeek from app stores, advised users against sharing personal data from or through the app, and is considering strengthening regulations on foreign companies in the country. Let me just offer you folks, just stop putting your personal data through any app, period. But here, let's keep going with this, because there's maybe a silver lining to all this as well. Who would, but we didn't expect otherwise, right? I mean, I talked about that in the beginning. You're going to be tapped. But this is just the way this is working. So the thing is, how do we get our tools? Where do we get our tools from? Do we have to sit helpless to all this? And maybe this was an ability to start to get our tools, and this may be it. So we got to take the bad right now with the good, but let's keep reading here. TikTok and parent company ByteDance have faced significant controversy themselves in the past, coming under ongoing scrutiny for mishandling customer data, being labeled as unacceptable risk by the FCC, and being reprimanded for misusing children's data. These ongoing data protection issues prompted by the United States to initially instigate a ban on TikTok from January 18th before a presidential executive order issued by the new administration restored service and delayed the enforcement of the ban for an additional 75 days. Let me just interject. Remember, Oracle was doing all the server work for this company too. And who came back up as being someone that might be tapped to pick up all that? But Oracle. And Oracle is part of Stargate, if you didn't know. So back to the report here. Although perhaps unsurprisingly, this controversy again raises serious questions and concerns about the crossovers between the data harvesting and sharing practices employed by emerging AI technologies and data protection, and especially critical issues as to the use of AI accelerates and begins to play an ever more prominent and constant role in our everyday experiences of technology and media. So, let's hope groups like the Hugging Face and those of you that can help them will quickly deconstruct DeepSeek and quickly remove those offensive parts. Look in, get into their black box and tear it apart, figure out what it is, and make it open source. Not perfect, but it's our first glimpse. And so, again, it doesn't seem like a surprise. I found it interesting how fast it was found. But there it was. All of our suspicions are brought true. And yet, this is an interesting condition where technology is brought to us that we can't do ourselves, but we can grab onto it, and then there's others that can pick up and make it better, and hopefully they will open it up for most everybody and make it easier to essentially point and click. Like I've said, I'm not a programmer. I used to do it, kind of did it before Linux was anything, but you're talking starting into the Unix and moving on, but I wasn't a programmer. I just wasn't a coder. But I can work it through. And so I didn't want to make the code. I was just as happy to find someone who knew how, and I would just point and click, and I'd use it as a tool. And that's where I've kind of settled as I move along more and more. I just want to use it as a tool the tool we were told that a computer is, to aid you in what your work is to be done. So AI is the next new tool, if nothing more, and it can be very good, and depending on what it's applied to. And we don't have access while the trillionaires are pulling it together to work against us. These special people, the special interests, truly special interests that have been long-term, 3,000 years. I don't know how that date came out. That's another error in my mind. But 3,000 years they've been working on your demise. I don't know why, but there they are. Why they want to make you prove that they're the top, I don't really know. But again, that's here on Earth. And then we have the choice, do we want to let them too? And know, well, we think we also know an alternative truth. But while I'm on things digital, an interesting development comes up with the new administration. It's such a double-edged sword this administration is. But the SEC officially dismisses Coinbase lawsuit over crypto security claims. Coinbase is in the clear after SEC followed through on its agreement and voluntarily dismissed its case against the crypto exchange. The Securities and Exchange Commission has followed through with its agreement to involuntarily dismiss its lawsuit against crypto exchange Coinbase for a court filing Thursday. Quote, the commission's decision to exercise its discretion and dismiss the pending enforcement action rests on its judgment that a dismissal will facilitate the commission's ongoing efforts to reform and renew its regulatory approach to the crypto industry, not on any assessment of the merits of the claims alleged in the action, the SEC wrote in a statement. The statement marks the first public commentary from the agency detailing why it has opted over the last 2 weeks to end lawsuits and investigations into some of the crypto industry's biggest players, including Robinhood, Uniswap Labs, OpenSea, and earlier today, Consensus. A disclosure, Consensus is one of 22 investors in the editorial independent Decrypt, which I'm reading this from, but going on, it would appear that the SEC's new leadership has decided to wipe the slate clean and start fresh with its assessment on how crypto companies and projects should best comply with existing security laws. Certainly the developments is an overwhelmingly welcome one for the likes of Coinbase and other firms that have cumulatively spent hundreds of millions of dollars fighting the SEC in court. I want you to remember that number as we look at what the Trump administration is doing relative to Doge and all the lawsuits that now have to come down to check whether or not Doge was correct, that it had found fraud or misuse or abuse. And this is what you start seeing. The attorneys are loving this, aren't they? Cumulatively spent hundreds of millions already in court. That's one regulatory agency. But it could also mean that the crypto industry isn't just suddenly off the hook for good. Legal experts told Decrypt earlier on Thursday that many tokens may still ultimately be labeled securities by the SEC's new leadership, even if secondary marketplaces and exchanges like Coinbase appear to be in the clear for now. I'm going to go back to my first statement. When I saw these things coming down, I said this industry is going to have to get a handle on showing itself to not be that security the SEC has jurisdiction over. And they didn't do it. No, they thought they were going to go up and they were going to agree with the SEC. Now it took another administration to back off. I think they were told they have some problems. And I think I was telling you then, they have some problems. Will people see it? I think they were starting to see it now. And so they backed off a bit. Now, there's also some help in the fact that Trump and his administration, he's the crypto guy now, through his son, Barron, suggesting so. But they've taken a step back, but you see it's not a complete free hand. And so the industry is going to have to show how it's not a security. And I'm not so sure they figured it out. So I'm not sure whether or not what I offered would do that either. This is years ago now we talked about this. So they backed off a little bit. And so that gives the industry a little bit more room to make it so. The problem here, there's a double-edged sword of this. You don't have regulation, you can have fraud, waste, and abuse, can't you? And that's the problem, again, with these crypto things. While the government wants to protect the consumer, so-called, we also know that the blockchain is not decentralized. And that's the main thing about it. And we watched how Russia is using that in spades, what their whole financial system and monetary system is moving toward as well. So, anyway, a little bit of breathing room, but they're not off the hook. They get a little chance to rethink their position, and I'm hoping that they do. As I said, I'm not really into the crypto scene. I haven't really trusted it. I don't have a lot to put time into it to work with it as the wild, wild west. I've never been good at gambling investments. The best I can do is play even, like most people, I suppose, that apply themselves. But to me, I just wanted to see people have an easy medium of exchange across distances where you can't meet somebody. That's, to me, a neat tool. So I'm not totally against it. It's just I don't see that the industry positioned itself that way. And yet, we may actually see there's a little potential, but it's going to be a little bit of an outlier and whether we can trust that. So it's about trust as well here. That's what's going on. And we're not good to ourselves. One of the frailties of mankind is that man wants to exploit man. As I say before, when Cain killed Abel, I realized we're kind of done for as a species. When brother kills brother, what any other definition do we have than to show that we're not looking into a future from there that's any good? And that plays out over and over. Anyway, back to here. Right after that, interesting story. I thought it was interesting. The SEC backs off. Maybe we don't have securities. We have to go through this and look at each company now. What does it do? Re-look at whether it really is a security. We have this story right on cue. The FBI accuses North Korea of the largest crypto hack in history. So here, now we get the chain pulled really tight of why they got to get the regulations going. Whatever they decide, whether it's going to be a security or just a commodity through the commercial commodity to be regulated by a different agency. StateLink hackers stole $1.5 Bravo dollars from Bybit. The agency keeps believing, though Pyongyang previously denied similar theft allegations. North Korea is responsible for, wait a minute, I thought they just said they believe. But here's the second paragraph. North Korea is responsible for the theft of around $1.5 billion in virtual assets from the Dubai-based Bybit cryptocurrency exchange, the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigations claimed on Wednesday. The heist, which was reported last week, is believed to be the largest crypto hack in history. While the FBI did not attribute the hack to a specific North Korean group, it said the attackers used something called Traitor, a set of malicious cryptocurrency applications that trick victims into installing malware under the guise of job offers. Let me just interject again, as I do a lot of things here. This is our frailties as well. We just don't even pay that much attention. We'll click on something, and there it is. We're done. That's our future in the digital gulag, and I don't see how we get around that. I don't care whether it's North Korea group that does it or somebody else. Once installed, the malware allows hackers to compromise financial systems and steal funds. What's in your wallet, folks? The agency claimed that the hackers quickly began converting portions of the stolen assets into Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, dispersing them across thousands of addresses on multiple blockchains. The alleged North Korean perpetrators, but I thought they believed, folks, and they were responsible. But their alleged North Korean perpetrators are expected to later launder the funds and convert them into fiat currency to evade detection, the statement read. Bybit, an exchange serving over 60 million users, said the breach occurred during a routine transfer between digital wallets. There's another vulnerability for all of you all that are into this. According to the exchange, hackers exploited the process by transferring funds from an offline storage system to a hot wallet used for trading, stealing around 400,000 Ethereum tokens worth $1.5 billion and funneling them to an unknown address. Bybit said that the hack was a sophisticated hack that masked the signing interface displaying the correct address while altering the underlying smart contract logic. Can I interject on this one as well? That sounds just like what Snowjobstone told the NSA could do to us. Just right there. The company stated that it had to receive more than 350,000 withdrawal requests, warning that it could lead to delays in processing. It also called on cybersecurity and blockchain forensics experts to help recover stolen funds, offering a 10% reward for any amount recovered. Can you just hear the features that are coming with the Siberian Gulag as a service to you? Western intelligence agencies have long accused North Korea. One finger pointing out is three pointing back, folks. Remember that. They've long accused North Korea of using cyber attacks to fund its weapons program and evade international sanctions. The Lazarus Group, one of the alleged North Korean hacking units, has been linked to previous cryptocurrency heists, including a $620 million Ronin network hack in 2022. No, they're not named in this report, are they? While North Korea has yet to comment on the FBI's allegations, it has previously denied accusations that it is involved in crypto theft, suggesting they are aimed at tarnishing the country's image. But, okay, that's geopolitics. I would agree that. It doesn't mean that North Korea is not doing it. But so much allegation, no proof, no nothing, and yet value got moved. What's in your wallet, folks? It's that fast, isn't it? So how can anyone be sure who ransacks the cyber gulag? actually. Can you trust the FBI any longer when it's been compromised by Israel? The technology to do all this as well? Could you trust it before? Snowden showed us, right? I mean, no, we can't trust anymore, folks. And that's the whole point. Why I get so interested, maybe even frustrated and irritated, that it can be Trump, Trump, Trump. And you look around, what'd he do? And you know them by what they do, folks. And it's not pretty. It's not good. It's not terrific. But another interesting thing, what I was talking about before when we looked at the SEC backing off, going back to the SEC, the development there as well, it appears meme coins are not going to be regulated as securities. So parse this thing through. They now have a line that they've made. Meme coins isn't something they're going to regulate as a security. We don't know what meme coins will be and what agency might regulate them at this point. But for now, it's not SEC. And listen carefully and make America great again. America. Washington's crypto czar says that meme coins won't be classified as securities, freeing them from strict financial rules, but leaving them open to fraud and market manipulation enforcement. That was that double-edged sword. So, as I looked at that and read it, you know, as I've talked to you and all the things I've noticed that were anomalies in the law, sometimes you need to go where the law ain't. Sometimes that you got to take the real strict liability. And maybe, for now anyway, these tokens, these meme coins, might be the one you use as money. Because they're not regulated. So they're not going to be tracked. So it sounds like it might be a bit risky, but it isn't regulated. So, again, if you're using them real time, you're not worrying about their rise and fall, but what their value is in a trade in the moment. This might be one of those little cutouts that we can keep track of. A meme coin. It just wink, wink, it's a meme coin. And yet you're using it for a medium of exchange for value. Now, I'm not sure if that'll play with many people to understand that. But anyway, that's what money is, isn't it? It's just you just trust in something to work. And so you can go, oh, I have a meme wink, wink coin. And people just understand it's really more of a stable, more like a stable coin. It's not a security. It's not regulable. It's not tracked by the government, at least at this point. And again, you'll notice another czar is born, the Washington crypto czar, making America great again, right? Not going to happen with the Soviet language style, right? JD, Mr. Vice President, he made a point about that Soviet language. And I've been making that point for a long time. When we start to be speaking the American, stop speaking the English, start speaking the American, and get rid of the Soviet. No, we don't. And it's not even in Trump's, it's not even gotten rid of in Trump's administration. No, we got the border czar. We got the crypto czar. And on that sour note, I wasn't even going to report on this. I don't even really need to hear any more from P.T. Barnum Muskrat. I really don't. I'm really tired of it. But again, this is like what the news is focused on. I told you there's something about this guy. The promotion is on, the promo. But again, as I wasn't going to I didn't even look at this report. I kept reading it though quickly. And, you know, you can find the most interesting admissions when you least expect it. The government of the Soviet, the method of total destruction, raises its ugly head in the news to give you notice in the news of what's happening right here at home. Musk slams EU state's arrest of presidential candidate. Calin Turchescu, a Romanian politician known for his opposition to military aid to Kiev, has already seen his victory in his first round of last year's election annulled. Turchescu was arrested earlier on Wednesday, shortly before he was planning to run for a president again, his team wrote on Facebook. Cancellation drew criticism from the United States speaking at the Munich Security Conference earlier this month. Vice President J.D. Vance suggested that some, quote, old entrenched interests, close quote, in Romania were using, quote, ugly Soviet-era words like misinformation and disinformation to secure their own interests and prevent the politician with, quote, an alternative viewpoint, close quote, from coming to power. So they all knew the CIA, U.S. military, and NATO cognitive warfare misinformation and disinformation campaign run by the United States government, funded for it by the compromised Congress critters, paid for by Americans, is an American, while they blame post-Soviet Federated Russia is being perpetrated by the, quote, old entrenched interests using ugly Soviet-era words like misinformation and disinformation to secure their own interests and prevent a politician with, quote, an alternative viewpoint from coming to power. Misinformation, disinformation being Soviet may be why the U.S. and for a long time now has had czars, this and a czar, that. And you thought we were America, right? Climate czar Kerry? How about it, border czar Homan? That's pretty close to human, isn't it? Right, kiddies? Or how about COVID czar, Vermin Varma? And not to be left out, let's go real old schooly for how long we ain't been openly America, but ruled by foreign interests. Old Emperor Biddle Caesar Nicholas, who served as the president of the Bank of the United States from 1823 to 1836 and clashed with President Andrew Jackson in the political conflict known as the Bank War. And we think this ugly Soviet-era campaign being done right here at home is going away because the current regime gets rid of those words without taking out the various foundations from which they exist, such as the Patriot Act, the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act, and those various banking and tax acts. Really? You're watching the catbox cover-up of the prior highlighted corruption from the monopolization and reorganization of the new and improved occulted operation. Vance and Trump administration stand against misinformation and disinformation while P.T. Barnabas performs his song and dance muskrat love as he fortifies the evolving lean, mean, and ever so technocratically efficient techno-swamp creature environment. Thank you, Vice President Vance, for your admission to remaining completely silent as the misinformation and disinformation campaigns you deplore being done right over there in Romania, as they were and are being done right here at home in the father, mother, confused landia of America. And this is BTWRLM 618, and you can't go wrong when you get behind the woodshed. I mean to tell you. Are you getting this right, folks? How this works out? How they use the same language and they're doing it again, though. It's just the one finger pointing out and they got three pointing back. Boy, they're just not bashful about any of that. Attention! Our food is killing us. Russian scientists have found out that the meat from Bill Gates caused turbo cancer and kills in 3 years, but it is already in stores and is being actively promoted by the WHO. The WHO. No, not the rock group, the owl, or the little people of Whoville, but the World Health Organization. Okay, Trump's out, but Gates' food is in, isn't it? What's in Russia? And apparently this is going to be in Russian. I find a link in that blogcaster link I showed you. I put together for you. And there's a link, or the link trees at the reallibertymedia.com video syndicators of the broadcast to click on the included links to what appears to be a Telegram account, which, apologize, I didn't have the time to work out or find if there is an alternative TG stat address to use. If you don't have Telegram, like I don't, I have to go find it in other places, but I couldn't find it real quick enough. And for, get the link, go to each of these individual food categories so that you can avoid buying these. Now, if they're Russian, I'm not so sure if there's a correlation, but we can start to get an idea right at home where we don't have some of the protections that they do back there. What else might be here? Now, we can guess. I'm just wondering, maybe we shouldn't go look at our grocery stores. It's because we're told, don't look at how sausage is made. And maybe that's what going to a grocery store anymore with this knowledge might be. However, bottled water causes infertility, diabetes, and cancer as trademarks, so we can see. On the list, if you get there, there's a link on all this. You get the Pravda.com link, but on there is a bunch of other links. And they all seem to go to Telegram. Milk and vegetables with mRNA vaccine. Mortality after 3 to 5 years. 100% of the insects were found in every finished product of this issue, of these things as well. The author of the Insider Channel shared an extensive database of thousands of food products. Thanks to this database, a table of a deadly food additives was displayed. And I'll also provide at the end of that list the links for the full table, again, on Telegram. And I couldn't find the alternative at this point. But the point is the information out there. If you're interested, seek it out and see how relevant it might be. I thought it was important to mention as we, again, there's a race of people that want you dead. How's that? And they are not bashful about putting this out. And they're not bashful about putting their other agents out in order to make it so, to lobby, because they have the money to do it. And you don't, you've got no time in life or money to do it yourself. And even though that's not an excuse, actually, and that's the sad part for us, but that's why I keep encouraging us to not give up, not stop. At least get your words out there. Get something out there. Start communicating again. And we have a momentum built in this regime, the Trump regime at this point, even though it's dastardly as all the rest. And when you look at it, again, I'm not a cheerleader on any of this stuff. So it's easy for me to, I come from these laws, these objective basis. I don't come from a sports team, which seems to be, you know, people, or I don't really come from the place where I'm expecting anybody else to do it. I mean, I ask you to do your part. I guess that's expecting someone else to help do it. But, you know, I'm not just doing nothing. I'm doing what I can as well, where I can, and educating as best as I can. Help mentoring people to do what they can do. And you, anybody, all of us can do. We can help each other. But maybe that's, again, hopium. A great dose of hopium. But I also know that, let's get back to those protocols of the elders of Zion. They count on us being unable to do all of that. I guess that's what drives me to keep talking. I know these, without them, we wouldn't have to worry about it, but they're there. I don't care what you call them. I don't care where the sources are. There's a wisdom deeper and longer than the late 1800s as well. Now, this guy was talking the letter 3,000 years. Okay, well, it's farther back than that. We want to get into it. But anyway, no, we're not there now. We're here. And they're doing all this stuff to kill us off. Whether it's the race of man or some other race, we find some interesting things coming up lately, especially with this disclosure on who we might really be. Do you think I believe it? Well, it sounds like a CIA op to me, too. So, we get protected where we are protected. And we can just, like I say, put everything in a possibility and a potential and a probability, and you'd probably be a lot better than just trying to figure out that you've got someone you can be cheerleader for that's going to make it so, make it right for you, because they're not there for us. Only you will make it right for you as best as you can in competition with everybody else. And it's been revealed that the U.S. is conducting experiments with biological weapons at the CIS on the ongoing saga of what's going on over there in the hinterlands right up against and into near Russia. The ongoing denial as well that sits on this. And yet, Doge, the double-edged sword of Doge can expose a bit of it too. But remember, it's just a part of the political faction that's no longer in power that got outed, and now it needs to be cleaned away to make the rest of the system lean and mean and more covert and more occulted to most of us as they move this thing continually along to kill us, to hurt us, to put people into servitudes. All over. Look at the thing that's going on in Ukraine. That's all that's about as well. Near as I can figure, the CIS here means the Commonwealth of Independent States as a regional intergovernmental organization in Eurasia. Why? Because they use a "the" in front in the one spot that we read on this. And so I assume it's that region and not a university, which was really just a young kid. So that's the best I could do on this. It wasn't, again, the reporting anymore is pretty scant sometimes. We do as we can. According to the documents leaked from Armenia, experiments are being conducted in laboratories associated with the U.S. Department of Defense to mutate the SAT-2 virus using samples taken on the border with Turkey. Documents that emerged noted that biological samples were requested for collection, especially in villages on the border with Turkey. This SAT-2 virus is known to be an extremely dangerous virus that quickly destroys local animal populations in the regions where it is distributed. In 2023, the virus, which was intensely observed in cities on the border of Armenia, was eliminated thanks to a vaccination policy in Turkey. And if it worked, great. But what if it was a scam? again, if it's injected into society, they stop the injections into society. They're synthetic. They really don't go any further. They're not really contagious. They're just transmitted by man. As we got a lead on the WHO's definition of pandemic, when you look at their definition that no longer exist, it said that transfer from one DNA agent to another, to a recipient, and I looked at that and said, well, that could be a doctor into a patient. See, they get very vague on the euphemistic about what they talk about. So you have to be a little bit creative, and I don't mean just flippantly so. You've got to put two and two together. What you see the outcome, so how did they get that point? So I'm not going to maybe go too deep on that. SAT2 virus, they're doing conducting experiments, and that's right there again in a Russian area, which is included in this intergovernmental region for Eurasia. And here we have it again coming out in now a different place, tied to Turkey, which is another NATO member, who now becomes also a big player, or trying to be so, in this Ukraine. We're going to send you peacekeepers. A bunch of nonsense, but everybody's got to look important. Here we have news at the speed of diplomacy. But I was talking to you about why I bring this stuff up. It's stuff that confirms it. I see it. I talk about it. A couple weeks later, it comes out. So I want to show you that if you didn't understand what I said or didn't believe me quite the first time, maybe we'll let this notice to you that comes out acknowledged in the world of what's going on, prove it again, second time. Two witnesses make a thing, right? So at the speed of diplomacy, and why this may be a sucky news this cycle, generally, I'm not talking this week, I'm talking about this whole Trump escapade that's going on relative to all these things in the world. And we can know that is going to be a sucky news cycle when Lavrov announces that, quote, the outcome of the upcoming talks would determine how quickly and effectively we can move forward. Talk about a lot of bubblegum to chew. Lavrov announces a new round of Russia-U.S. talks. And so I've been telling you, great, we're talking, but we're talking about this before. There's going to be snail's pace. They can use this for any tactic they want. And yet, we're not launching nukes, so I guess we'll take it. The high-level meeting will be held at Istanbul on Thursday, according to the foreign minister. The two sides are expected to address, quote, systemic issues stemming from the, quote, previous U.S. administration's unlawful actions to create artificial obstacles for the Russian embassy's operations, according to Lavrov. Lavrov made the remarks on Wednesday at a press conference in Doha, Qatar, specifying that the meeting will take place in Istanbul, Turkey, on February 27th. And we'll focus on normalizing the work of both countries' embassies, which I understand that meeting just happened here just a couple days, and it's just going glowingly, all right? But what are they doing? I said they haven't decided even what they haven't got to the point to decide what table napkins they're going to say, put and use, and what tables or whatever. They haven't even decided where they're going to go. They're getting there now. They're just putting it all together. The outcome of the upcoming talks would determine how quickly and effectively we move forward, the diplomat said. And so, here we're back to the snail's pace of diplomacy. Understand, Russia's just knocking the heck out of southern Ukraine right now. So as they wait and wait and wait, Russia is using up more and more of the territory of Ukraine to denazify and demilitarize. And these are going to be the two words, you haven't heard about them right yet, relative to what's coming out of the news, any quite yet. Because Trump's only talking. Russia just watching. And to their credit, they know, don't interrupt someone making mistakes. Right? There we are. So Lavrov tells us what I told you a couple last episode or episode before. This has gone into the speed of diplomacy. They're still working out how to work it out. So then we move on to Trump's defense budget proposal to Russia, and China aims to give U.S. a military edge. And this is where we start to work out, and the leaders know about all this, and we're seeing the commentators talk about it relative to what Trump offered, and on the surface, it sounds really great. President Donald Trump floated offering Russia and China to join the U.S. in slashing their defense budgets in half when speaking to reporters at the White House earlier in February, adding that he hoped to take this up with President Vladimir Putin and President Xi Jinping. Quote, when things calm down, Washington hopes to drag Moscow and Beijing into deceptive 50% military spending cuts, staking on their desire to avoid appearing disinterested in peace overtures by the U.S. president, a geopolitical analyst Brian Berlektik told Sputnik. The proposal is a ruse by Donald Trump aimed at rectifying the disparity between the bloated U.S. military budget and the more efficient ones of Moscow and Beijing, noted the former U.S. Marine. Quote, a genuine agreement would not be based on a percentage cut, but an equal reduction in explicitly capabilities the U.S. has used for decades to project power abroad, including global spanning network of military bases, its membership in aggressive blocs like NATO and ATO, its sea and airlift capabilities, and the various types of missiles and drones, both naval and aerial, the U.S. is right now developing to menace nations like Russia and China along with their other on their own borders. Now let me offer, consider what he's saying here as applied to what's going on in the news, the big scandal relative to Ukraine. And I think you can apply this right to there, just directly on over. Anyway, so again, here's someone else talking about the same style of things and for certain reasons that I bring up and why they're interesting to me in the sense that, again, deception, the setup for the takeout, cat box cover-up, whatever we want to see, it's not really what it's all supposed to be. And I'm not saying that the leaders of other countries don't see this themselves, but if they, given they do, is the embarrassment as well. But Trump is just not bashful at all to go ahead and be embarrassed by that statement. It just becomes a negotiating tool. Just, he'll forget it. He won't mention it no more. We'll go on. We'll just move on. They do that behind the scenes at the speed of diplomacy. Even if the U.S., Russia, and China were to slash military spending by 50% proportionally, America would still enjoy greater overall spending than both nations combined, speculated the pundit. Well, it's not a speculation. Go look at the expenditure. Despite the proposal sounding promising on the face, he added, without further details from the United States government side, it appears to be an attempt to provide the U.S. an overwhelming military advantage, all while appearing to pursue global peace. And I want you to pay attention to that. To pursue global peace, this peacemaker we have. It's a ruse. U.S. President Donald Trump proposed that the United States, Russia, and potentially China each reduce their defense budget by 50%, saying, one of the first meetings I want to have with President Xi of China, President Putin of Russia, and I want to say, let's cut our military budget in half, and we can do that. Following this proposal, Russia's Vladimir Putin indicated Moscow's openness to negotiations. We are not against it. The idea is good. The U.S. cuts by 50%, we cut by 50%, and if China wants, they can join later. But do you believe that? No, this is just the way this game works. But anyway, let him say it. He knows they got such a pittance in their relative to what they invest relative to the United States. China's defense spending, quote, is completely out of the need of safeguarding national sovereignty, security, and development interests, and the need of maintaining world peace, Foreign Minister spokesman Li Jian stated at a press conference on February 25th, while the United States threatens it all the time. And this is the other thing. So here's the carrot and the stick. I mean, you think China doesn't see both hands? It's just nonsense, it seems. Now, based on all these situations, also, the actions on Trump, you know, we got on the budget, and we get to the other things that are on the docket for him, and all this stuff comes together at one time. We kind of sort of miss the fact that 50% cut sounds good. Sounds good. When you just glance at it, wouldn't it be great to cut our budget that much money? We're in a deficit. We need to trim our fat, don't we, in the United States? And so everyone just kind of says that's cool. But what's going on is deception and lingering and delay. Not even diplomatic speed. It's not even a snail's pace. It's for deception and delay. And all at the same time, all by the promises, which, again, I can feel the frustration coming. And I'm frustrated because I just expected government to work and do what it says. Just do what it says, at least. And it doesn't say that. We get a different style of delay. It's like the diplomacy to the people of the United States by their representatives. It's not even snail's pace. They don't even respect you that much. I got an original post that Gary L. responds to, and then I respond to Gary L. through ex-Twitter. Several key members of the staff and council from the original Warren Commission of 1963 are still alive today. And I'm going to say another report here in a moment. Remember this, still alive today. Witnesses, folks. Witnesses to whatever. We think we know. 1963 are still alive today, including, to name several, Melvin Eisenberg, Bert Griffin, Sam Stern, Samuel Stern, Howard P. Willens, Stuart Pollock, and Murray Lawlicht. Our government oversight task force will interview as many living individuals involved as possible to learn the truth about the assassination of JFK and provide transparency to the American people. And I've told you what that transparency is. They hope you don't see it. That's what they're providing. And oh, look at who these people are affiliated. Look how compromised every one of these people is that is pulling this off, this diplomatic delay with the people of the United States. And to that response, Gary L. responds, "Hello, operator. It seems folks are fed up with the hyperbolic grandstanding. Best reconsider some things." And I respond to that operator with a smiley face, "And can she dial 911? It's an emergency." What's in the water that these people think they can scrutinize information better than remaining witnesses to the public execution of JFK? There's no statute of limitations on that. By denying immediate release, or through obstructing national justice. They have someone in here, Anna Paulina Luna, who believes that another commission of the commissioners is going to turn up more than us just getting that information forthwith and let us scrutinize it and then bring the witnesses forward with our question, whether or not it's congressional or not. And then it was at 24 hours after I replied to Gary L. relative to another ex-Twitter where I say, "and one last remaining witnesses," that was quick. Relative to the witnesses and relative to my questioning that and putting the elements of the evidence together, Clint Hill, Secret Service agent who leapt onto the JFK's car after the president was shot, dies at 93. Not even 24 hours later, we lose a witness right at the car, folks. Well, they sang and dance around on some information that was supposed to be dropped 50 years ago. Okay, I'm feeling frustrated again. Just because I just want to know, what are we going to do without it anyway? But there it is. And Trump promised and then didn't. Now he promises and now everyone jumps in the way with their song and dance. And who do we all suspect actually done it to JFK? Our suspicions are the same people that are backing up these people that are causing the delay. It's maybe another implication of who done it. If we aren't yet going to know, if we ever do. Clint Hill, the Secret Service agent who leapt onto the back of the President John F. Kennedy's limousine after the President was shot, then was forced to retire early because he remained haunted by the memories of the assassination, has died. He was 93. Hill died Friday at his home in Belvedere, California, according to his publisher, Gary Gallery Books, an imprint of Simon Schuster, and a cause of death was not given. Although, you may recognize as his name, the footage of Hill captured on Abraham Zapruder's chilling home video movie of the assassination provided some of the most indelible images of Kennedy's assassination in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. Let me interject. That's a very important point. Indelible images was planned as well. They needed those as well. So this is all part of it. Very interesting to watch it being rediscussed and re-traumatized in discussing it. Hill received Secret Service awards and was promoted for his actions that day, but for decades blamed himself for Kennedy's death, saying that he didn't react quickly enough and would gladly have given his life to save the president. Quote, "If I had reacted just a little quicker, and I could have, I guess, saved him." Weeping Hill told Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes, November 1975, shortly after he retired at age 43, at the urging of his doctors, quote, "and I'll live with that to my grave." So taking his statement at face value, just no more questions than what he was going through and saying than we might think otherwise, possibly. On face value, can you imagine living with that thought on your mind for the rest of your life? And he wasn't even tasked to protect the president, but he was assigned to protect the first lady, Jacqueline Kennedy, right, sitting next to him on the other side of the car. And that trauma is such that he didn't realize that when he said he heard the gunshot and didn't react quickly enough, it was too late. And in the picture of the Newsthis article, when you get it, the AMP, he's just getting onto the limo, and President Kennedy is already shot. Mossad or similar got him. Jacqueline is already climbing onto the trunk, in between them. And Clint Hill admits Kennedy was already slumped over as he begins to move, and he's on the car behind, running forward. He could have never reacted soon enough, not to the sound of the gunshot. It's very sad. It's very sad to read that from him, that he had to live with that through his ride into history all his life, saying, "I'll live with that to my grave." And he apparently did. So that's what Maya was saying. He was a witness right there. Not 24 hours later, he's dead. Probably before that, because he died before the news report. And my response to Gary L. on the Twitter was, "And one less remaining witnesses." That was quick. Oh, and delaying the JFK records by any artifice is a national disgrace while Trump watches. And to that, from the "when you know you're a captive department," oh, and to increase the speed of destruction of the outlying fiat obligations, Trump unveils the $5 million gold card U.S. residency permit. I hope you're all keeping the deception and the nonsense going here. All the delays, all the head fakes, all the nonsense. I just don't even know what it is. It's just nonsense. It's just critical, too, though. That's the problem with it. Why even bring it up? Do you think I care about a residence permit? But look at what they're doing. Look what this guy does. Look at the impact it starts to have. Little bits all everywhere. Thimbles full of these dollars coming back in. Privileges giving to people. A high-end version of the traditional green card is set to attract wealthy foreigners to the U.S., President Trump has said. The current EB-5 immigrant investor visa provides a resident permit for foreigners who invest either a minimum of $1.05 million in a new business creating jobs or $800,000 in a business in a rural area, high unemployment area, or an infrastructure project. So you understand what that means, that most Americans could not buy their way into their own open-air prison because they earn prisoner wages. And because you couldn't feed the plantation prison complex in providing more master-slave relationships. That's what it means, right? When you make more jobs, master-slave relationships, you're already the prisoner. You don't have the money. If Trump meant to be fair, he'd also offer a reciprocal program for Americans without $5 million because the government failed them in protecting their monetary wealth from the money changers. Maybe $10 million, extortion-free, and for the reparations here that they've caused due to government breaches, such as the U.S. government not fulfilling its land-grant disposals and protecting the same forever, like they're supposed to. One less draw on the people who own land, allow them to produce in this country, letting them and those possessing instead to suffer extortions of every kind and no other, diminishing people over time, allowing all that, and a golden visa to a country of your choice as a reciprocal offer from Trump. But I think I'd accept something like that. What about you? As I think that through, we already have United States American state citizenship, so-called. And I mean a deal far better than bringing in a bunch of foreign or chosen or dual citizen millionaires. You think I'm kidding that that isn't the purpose? No, anyway, look at the picture in the article who is standing to the left behind Trump but none other than the Cheshire Cat Smiling Howard W. Lutnick, who, a quick check shows, is a prominent Jewish American businessman who graduated from Haverford College in 1983. That's the college I just reported on recently that had a lawsuit dismissed against it by claiming discrimination against Jews. Remember, there was no judicially cognizable claim in their complaint against the college. And this Jewish Haverford College graduate is, and he's best known as the chairman and the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald LP, a leading financial services firm. And is also the chairman of CEO of BGC Group Incorporated, a global brokerage and financial technology company, an enthusiast of the Siberian Gulag, and a chairman of the Newark Group Incorporated, a commercial real estate services leader. Cantor Fitzgerald, of which, not to be confused with nephew of anti-Zionist President John Fitzgerald, standing behind Trump to his right, the seriously unsmiling Zionist compromised RFK Jr., the Zio bankster Lutnick, who has served as the United States Secretary of Commerce since 2025, to Trump's left. You don't think what this is about is what it's about? But back to the real deal for all Americans, a reciprocal deal. Far better than bringing in a bunch of foreign or chosen or dual citizens, likely largely on the U.S. dime, on our dime, multimillionaires, to increase the size of the plantation for the land of fee and the home of the slave, and being we, the people, don't need no stinking residency permits from Trump's golden visa card. But so Trump could get some political kickback, kudos, to sweeten the pot, for finally helping unincorporated Americans, I think, to invest about $800,000 for Trump's golden privilege, creating some sort of 100% tax-deductible rural online business, putting some online private contractors to work, and finally live the good life in America as we the people were promised. That would make America great again, wouldn't it? $9 million and change and a reinvestment in America. I think I'd go for that. What do you think? Yeah, so where it makes America great again, why isn't that Trump's deal? And just as I said in the last episode, P.T. Barnabas can't know what is fraud, waste, and abuse like MERS just because he thinks so. In his slash-and-burn crusade of government efficiency without any efficiency other than what it takes to slash and attempt arson, U.S. judge gives Trump 2 days to unfreeze foreign media. NGOs and government contractors have sued over the withholding of allocated grants. So read here, allocated, that it's allocated by Congress, the legislative branch, not in Muskrat's wheelhouse. Trump's too, not the executive branch. Even if P.T. Barnabas wasn't more than a mere advisory capacity to the White House staff member. See, Musk output is like an AI. Could be garbage in, garbage out, black box. No one knows. The output must be reviewed for errors. Just like any techno tool, his output is error pronation. Is not even as reliable as trust but verify. The article says a U.S. federal judge has given the administration of President Donald Trump less than 2 days to release billions of dollars in already approved foreign aid frozen last month, multiple media outlets have reported. Trump froze most U.S. foreign aid funding on his first day in office to have it reviewed for compliance with his American First goals. The move comes amid a broader crackdown on wasteful government spending. Let me just interject, which everyone can agree, usually, unless they're on the take. But should have been going on the entire time is the other thing. Back to the article. District Judge Amir H. Ali first issued a temporary restraining order, TRO, on February 13th, demanding the Trump administration release funds for loans and contracts that had been frozen by presidential order since last month. In a follow-up hearing last week, government lawyers argued that the administration was complying with the TRO, claiming it left them room to cancel and suspend contracts while they were reviewed. In a telephone session on Tuesday, the judge alleged that the administration had shown no sign of complying with the TRO Ali ruled that the Trump administration must pay out foreign aid funds to grant recipients and contractors by 11:59. They interject right there. Remember, grants are not loans. You heard Zelensky even use that. You've heard me talk about it, where grants are supposed to be protected. And you're hearing that judge do that. On the surface, they were grants. They were not shown by the administration to be other than that, and obligations. You can't just turn those off. So first off, notice the judiciary is involved. And the judge did not dismiss the case because the plaintiff did not have standing, that Trump was unquestionably within his power. Maybe not. The appeals now are needed to find out which is due process. It's not just on the executive decision, is the point here. In fact, upon the petition to the Supreme Court by the Trump administration on this, the Supreme Court did stay the force and effect of the lower court's order to allow the Trump administration to respond. They didn't get rid of it. They just said, here, you're going to give us some time to respond. So there's a question. So all this is not so cut and dried, one way or the other. Certainly not from an advisory committee. So notice also then that the judge isn't confused on what Trump or Elon Musk thinks. As you see, P.T. Barnabas talking about all the time, what he thinks, what he believes. But and for my purposes here, notice whatever I might think about the judiciary or what rights the executive has and can do, P.T. Barnabas's opinion is void of efficiency. It does not operate in a vacuum, even for the sake of efficiency. Or however any one of us may want smaller government. Notice the obligations are to be honored is the first thing I want you to do, because this gets back to us. Again, these land disposals, those are supposed to be honored, not attacked, not turn your gaze to let someone be attacked through code enforcement. Anyway, that's just the writing thing on this. It just irritates me to no end about, too. They recognize it in one spot, the government does, but not in the other. So notice the obligations are to be honored. And the usurpers count on that as long as they don't have to honor any, like MERS and Israel coming down. This is where I keep saying you got to question, you got to protect yourself. If you don't, people like this win. This is how what they play off of. And in all of this, we can begin to observe the covert warring factions within the government, this whole thing between the two. There's probably three or four, actually. They all have their position. And to drive home this House Un-American Uniparty Soviet point, yet another czar is born in all this. As we see, again, we're not America. We just aren't. We aren't even referenced by it, even though J.D. Vance spoke out about it as something done over there while it was being done here, and he was like real quiet, wasn't he? USAID, which spends around $40 billion a year on foreign assistance, became one of the first targets for Trump's government efficiency czar, Elon Musk, and the newly formed Department of Government Efficiency. So meet your new House Inefficient Efficiency Czar. So what do we take away from all this? The legislature appropriates all funds. The House of Representatives ultimately decides where those funds go. Now that DOGE has identified some of what the funds go to and that it's not what the people expected, it's back into the Congress. We, the people, must go to register our objections. First off, the immediate action should be to overwhelmingly contact Trump to veto the current appropriations bill being discussed right now. Why? Because they are not what you put Trump in office of president to agree to. He has the right of veto, doesn't he? So that's the, if you can't get to your representative so quick, go to him and give him the reasons that he expects to hear that makes his decision real easy for him. The appropriations are not consistent with making America great again is what you would present, and you'd give the reason why. Which ones wouldn't be? But I know, making America great again, I know. Just say MAGA anyway. Humor me for now. Let the legislature know which the Republican Party controls, but they can do much better. Veto the proposed appropriations and come back with something meaningful that have the fundamental alterations addressed that the Republicans voted for. that people shifted their vote to go and get in place. But you tell that representative they may face the music come primaries if they don't. And Trump is good at spewing ultimatums, or else the government gets 100% efficient real fast without any appropriations to run it come summer, as you advocate Trump veto. So Trump identified real problems with the legislative appropriations, which the judiciary continues because of prior lawful, however moral, but legal obligations the Congress enacted. That if those obligations didn't exist at all, would not be a question for the judicial review, nor subject to inherent government inefficiencies or misuse. And why P.T. Barnum is only a lead to a lowly advisory committee member whose opinion means nothing, but whose findings may be all too important for we the people for the evidence we need, that the government corruptions stop right, and they stop right now. We needed the evidence, and that's the part, the double-edged sword part that we need, not what they're telling us. It's just the way this place is wired. You got to go and got to engage this way. It's up to the people to influence the representatives to stop their corruption through the purse or manipulated spending. Or we get new representatives, or both. As to the current appropriations, the proposals, and presidential veto, you got to get you behind a woodshed. That's what I keep advocating. We can't just sit back. Let your voice be known. Let it be known with whatever proof, actual proof you can come to bring. Speak in their language. Don't be embarrassed. You have to. It's what they receive. We're told the current debacle can be stopped by summer in this case. If you only will. Those campaign crowds attending the Trump stumping that we saw, they must unleash themselves to insist their vote meant something, that America could be great again. I know, you and me, please. Just push for it. This is the momentum that the people have. It's what they expect. But it's all going to be falling short. Whether we see that, people see it or not, you're watching it fall short. And in the news, we have things in the news to tell us that things that Congress needs to stop and put severe penalties upon for not immediately disclosing expenditures to congressional oversight committees. We're hearing the trouble even the Congress is now having. That certainly must be a breach of trust to the we the people, ultimately. The USAID blew millions of literal pet projects in Ukraine. The U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, funneled millions of American taxpayer dollars into Ukrainian fashion and pet companies, then attempted to hide the funding from Congress, the American conservative newspaper The Federalist reported on Wednesday. Dog collars? With all the debauchery discussions we've been hearing coming out of the intelligence agency video chats while on the People's Dime? Sounded more like a U.S. government mafia money laundering front company situation to me, actually. USAID, Washington's primary mechanism for funding political projects abroad, had its multi-billion dollar budget frozen by President Trump last month, pending a review for alignment with his America First policy and the legality of the law through the judiciary. Again, P.T. Barnum's proclamations on ex-Twitter are not the final answer. They're not the discovery of fraud, waste, and abuse. They might be, but they're not on his word. They're not on any even what Trump thinks, again. The president cited the uncontrolled spending and massive corruption in the agency, calling for it to be shut down entirely, seeking accountability for the agency's allocation of taxpayer dollars. Senator Joni Ernst arranged for her team to visit USAID headquarters for an in-camera review of Ukraine aid data in October of last year. Despite multiple attempts to gain some clarity on the agency's books, USAID had stonewalled both her direct communications and the congressional action for years. Let me just interject right there on that. Why wouldn't one of the first acts Trump did is to secure all that data, knowing they were going after them? So the executive has found what it believes it's the misuse of funds appropriated by Congress. If a congresswoman can't get in, and something that Congress had been stonewalled for years, not weeks, trying to investigate, is not adequate checks and balances, whether internal to a branch of government or as between the branches. And it really is a national embarrassment as it's being disclosed to us. So you say, yes, that's government functioning the way checks and balances are supposed to. And I say, then why aren't 100% of the representatives taking immediate action to stop it or bring that accountability? It's not just pointing out it. It's real accountability. People go to jail for this sort of stuff. Go read the United States laws on fraud, waste, and abuse and how it comes about and what the penalties are. As I think I saw a meme, all these people talked about going to jail. We're going to be shocked when the first one goes to jail. It's not accountability. It's not checks and balances. And that's what you'll present to your representative to explain that you expect more from the representative than a deer in the headlights to stop the plunder and national security, the threat to the people. Their first duty is not to appropriate more funds to be plundered, but to stop the existing plunder before more appropriations are made. And if that means to shut down the operation, well, shut it down. Do that too. We'll stop the bleeding before you start putting more blood in the body. Put the oil cap back before you, the oil plug back before you put another quart in. And again, the evidence shows the misappropriation or the fraud, waste, and abuse is systemic. It's just, so shut the government down. I don't know what else more to do at this point. That'll get their attention. That'll be accountability at that point. That'll make them focus what they need to get focused on, won't it? And I think it's possible with our press, with our push. Momentum is there to be able to try and get it done. Trump vetoes this bill coming through, these appropriations being made up. They're actually more than what they're talking about. More than he said. They're going to be more expenditure. Just shut it down. Just have him veto it. Really get them on the hook. And then be there to watch it and talk to them and tell them how you want it to go. Because this is a U.S. government money laundering system almost got us into a nuclear war. Well, a lot more crime is going on still, despite what we see, while we cheerlead all this stuff. With USAID funding suspended by Trump, the vast majority of Ukrainian media companies have been put at risk of shutting down, multiple NGOs have reported. According to French NGO Reporters Without Borders, 9 out of 10 media outlets in Ukraine were dependent on USAID as their primary donor. And what was I talking about earlier about the United States being involved with Ukraine and without their help? I mean, we've heard it. They've been saying it. The United States was running that place, running the cognitive warfare machine. And here you have the numbers now given. It all appears to be CIA front operations to me. So with the evidence of government corruption evidence by this, you say to your representative and senator, I no longer consent to the dereliction of duty evidenced by members of Congress when now seeing and continuing to allow the plunder and national harm to continue. You're a legislator. You make laws. Stop this and bring accountability now. Don't work on anything else. Arrest these crimes now. Stop the delays. And because we can't rely upon the FBI being, it has shown itself not to be more than an enemy from within. Notwithstanding the new officials, which are even maybe still having trouble. I think that's a cover too. As well as a Serbia, which does not need to take instructions to procure permits from the FBI or State Department to determine, and had just declared under Serbian law that USAID, CIA directed, likely here, money laundered funds back to the U.S. legislators used in Serbia were misappropriated U.S. funds. Here's your proof, if you're going to contact your representative, that another country has found this to be the case. So no further investigation is needed, but the State Department and FBI are admitting the same by their own responses. So clearly it hasn't mattered who runs the FBI or the CIA. They are all in on it, even the legislators. And certainly everyone not stopping the national security threat under that plunders this country and didn't stop it immediately. 9/11 just gave them the excuse to be terrorists and blame us and everyone else for their harm that they're causing. The entire government needs a fiduciary audit. A fiduciary audit, not a monetary audit. The evidence for which is apparently as easy as pushing a button. Right, P.T. Barnabas? Is what I read in that part of the report which instructs us what to do and what to say in part when you decide to get behind the woodshed and do it in the numbers of the people seen at the election rallies. To involve yourself in that process so you can keep track that the progress doesn't get derailed. So don't be just a keyboard warrior on X Twitter. DOG, Doge, in its proper role, may be able to help make those sorts of corruption audits more readily available in its suggestions for the new digital infrastructure to make government more digitally interoperable on top of presently communicating with your Congress critter. It shouldn't be that hard or unknown to implement any of that, given that the Siberian Gulag already is planned to track and trace you and even in every discretion you make automatically. We turn the Sauron's gaze upon Sauron. We can call it the government health measure, taking the pulse of government to monitor its good fiscal health. So do something today, because you may not have another chance. Look at what the dynamic is. Look at the momentum. You may not have another chance than right now. And I'm not saying this to be sensational. Strike while the iron is hot. It is not just a phrase. It's a fact if you intend to reform this errant, iron-fisted extortionate government operating in your name and presumably by your consent. Bring it back to the will of the people. It is to fiduciarily serve. As we see more abuse, we could talk about FEMA allocated $2.6 million for war on misinformation. Oh, J.D. Vance, that was Soviet-style stuff. Misinformation by FEMA, FEMA. The blanket purchase agreement notes list misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation and analysis as the subjects of the order with $1.2 million spent and as much as currently listed as the obligated amount. So, can we agree FEMA is a Soviet-style regime that has nothing to do with American interests? I think these are wide open for an interpretation on our part in the affirmative. I don't know what the question is anymore, actually. Are we not going to respond to this? We have, again, it's right in front of us to do. Right in front of us to do. None of these agencies, you talk about the bureaucracy, they've fallen off the way of America, what we thought it was. Well, it is for the will of the people. What is the will of the people, I guess I'm asking? We're going to have to come to terms with it, and it's going to be formed up by the actions we take now, and the momentum is such that we can ride this tsunami, and we can go to our destination, we can get to our beach, if we just will. And I'm advocating that we do that. There's some other things coming on the news that I'm not going to be able to get to, but I will make sure that I drop the vault for the Epstein didn't kill himself files. We can start to see, again, I think we're going to find the absence of an organization or people that we ought to have seen is going to be the telltale sign that they are the people. But we're not going to have the official proof. These files are at least one thing, even though they're not showing us much. From what I can tell. Or the authentication that it wasn't a conspiracy theory, that was something going on. The government now has admitted. Now, however they're going to do the cat box cover, I don't know. We've got now the Attorney General is saying, oh, she got scammed. She wasn't told where a whole lot more is. But if that's the one spot, what about other places that are not talking? They understood that was from a whistleblower. And so the new officers are shocked. But again, they know that the problem was systemic. Why did they go ahead of this and lock it all down? Why is the JFK files going slower than the pace of diplomacy? Slower than the snail's pace. to bring something that was supposed to be a law to be acted upon immediately, except that little cult, the next clause that said, unless the president doesn't want it. And we look at every president since Kennedy, compromise. Worse was the president following Kennedy. And so, the writing's on the wall. I think we see what's going on. We have a particular approach. We have people that know us better than ourselves, and yet we have the answers on their Achilles' heels to prevail anyway. And I can just suggest, if you have an understanding of what I just said relative to the broadcast today, it's not going to be done on X-Twitter. It's not going to be done even talking about it. It's going to be done finding out the core of the problem and addressing that. And then if you have obstructions, understanding those obstructions before you get going in order to address, let's say, your representative. Like I said, one of the techniques is to find an outside source, a sovereignty, like Serbia, that says, no, these USAID were misappropriated in this country. We don't need the FBI to tell us whether they were or not. We don't need to know whether or not they didn't sanction that, the use of that money. The money was spent as a misappropriation in that country. The country decides that by its laws. To say otherwise is to infringe upon the sovereignty of that country. And I think that would be a big mistake. Otherwise, why is the United States even talking about sovereignty? What's the other joke here? What is the joke? And maybe it is a joke. But it's a deadly joke. Because Russia's not playing it. And they're not going to be playing it. For as much as I hear Trump going off. Maybe we'll get to that next week. This has been BTW RLM 618. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close. Lessons to learn, dose by dose. Behind the woodshed. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.